caregiver. Acts 10:38. Computer. Acts 10:38. Okay. Is there anybody who is reading it? Acts 10:38. And now God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Many times when reference is made to this particular verse, reference is made in terms of power and anointing. Today, that is not my area of emphasis. My area of emphasis is what was he doing with the anointing. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. What was he doing with it? My Bible tells me he went about doing good, showing kindness, showing generosity, showing pity. He went about doing good. He didn't stay in one place. He could have made merchandise of the anointing by staying in one place, and everybody will say, Do you want to see the master? And then he will enrich himself with that anointing and power. He could have allowed his disciples to make merchandise of his anointing. You want to see the master? Like in the case of one of the former presidents. You want to see him? It's a matter of dollars. I'm not mentioning him, but your guess is as good as mine. You want to see him? He didn't give forum for that. He was moving from one place to another. In other words, he was the one who carried food to the territory of the hungry. As in the case of John chapter 21 from verse 9 to 12. After they have left the mission, the disciples, and they went about their business, he showed up. They were tired and worn out and hungry. He showed up, and instead of rebuking them, he fed them. He was the one who carried food to the territory of people who were hungry. He was the one who carried healing to the doorstep of those who are sick. As in the case of the mother of Peter, Peter's mother-in-law. As you see, in Matthew 8:14-15, he was the one who carried healing to their doorstep. He was the one who carried joy to the territory of those people who are sorrowful, who were sad. As you see, in the case of a woman in the town of Nain, who was carrying his debt cause. The only child that he had was carrying it to be buried in Luke chapter 7 verse 11 to 15. Luke 7 verse 11 to 15. And he said, weep not. He was the one doing this. He was the one who carried his clothing, his deliverance to the doorstep of those who were held captive, of those who were naked. As we see in the case of the madman of Gadarene. In Luke chapter 8 verse 26 to 35. Luke chapter 8 verse 26 to 35. He was the one. A man was not only naked in the tomb. He was cutting himself. But by the time he dealt with him, he healed him, he clothed him. Everybody that came and saw him, he was cool, calm, collected, and well-dressed. He was the one who carried hope to the dread, to the doorstep of the hopeless. That's a caregiver. In a practical sense, he was going about, moving from one person to the other. Say, madam, how can I help you? What can I do for you? Going from one person to the other, how may I be of assistance to you? At the time he was coming from the mountain in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, a man met him in the process of roaming about with his goodness. He said, I know you, sir. You may not know me. You are a consultant physician. In fact, you are the great physician. You are the one who has solution to every problem of humanity. If you will, you can heal me. He looked at the man. To some extent, you are correct. I am the great physician. But you don't seem to know me enough. If you know me enough, you will know that I am the personification of love, according to John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. If you know me enough, you will know that I wish above all things that we be in health, that we prosper and be in health. You wouldn't say if I will. In that case, I will. What surprises me was that he should have healed him if he said, take up your things. The man would take his thing. Several healing were done by the word of his mouth. But here was a leper. The wife of a leper will not touch her husband. The children of the leper will not touch their father. He said, I will be thou clean. I identify with you. That was the perfect caregiver, going about seeking the people to help. I mean, there is a saying in Yoruba that ele goloma anjo malabe. It is somebody who has thorn in his leg that should be looking for somebody who holds a razor blade. Jesus turned the table around. He was the one who held the razor blade, looking for those who have thorns, looking for the people to help. What's going about? Going about. He met a man by the pool of Siloam in John chapter 5, from verse 1 to 9. Say, sorry, sir. There are some people in this your condition. If you heal them, it is a problem. Because they are making merchandise of their situation. Can I be of assistance to you? May I? Do you wish to be made whole? He was the one going about. And the man engaged in the rigmarole. You know. If I want to do this, he said, okay, I can deduce. There's no problem. I can deduce you wanted healing. And so, rise up. And the man rose up. And he left. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. And may I let you know, the onus rests on you to follow the example of Jesus Christ. That is why you are called. In John 13:15, he said, I have shown you an example that you should do as I have done. John 13:15. I have shown you, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21, the Bible says that he has given us an example that we should follow his step. We should follow his step in kindness. We should follow his step in suffering. We should follow his step in good deeds. We should follow his step in welfareism. Everything you see Jesus do, I have seen giving you an example that you should do as I have done. Everything that you see him do, it means those who watch their neighbor coming to church with well clothed from time to time and don't care, they have their wardrobes packed with clothes they have not used in 6 months and they never care. They are not following the example of Jesus Christ. Those who live in Bogalo and watch their neighbors prepare soup without oil, and they have oil in more than enough. They have 1 gallon that they have never even opened. And they say, but he didn't ask me now. They are not following the example of Jesus Christ. Those who see their neighbor looking for matches, common matches. And he said, but he knows that I have. Why didn't he come and ask me? And they never care, and that person is looking for matches all over here and there. They are not following the example of Jesus Christ. And he has given you an example that you should follow his step. Don't let me dwell too much on that. The perfect caregiver. The perfect caregiver. The approach, your approach, your attitude is inconsequential. I mean, in Yoruba language, for example, you need a help. You say, if you will, doctors in the house, if there's any doctor, somebody met you along the road, and he say, I know you are a consultant gynecologist. You are a consultant neurologist, I know. You are a virologist. You are this. Can you, give me free treatment? How will you feel? We will say, that is, if he doesn't have money, he should be polite. That approach is rude. The approach of Jesus, is inconsequential to the perfect caregiver. It's irrelevant. He was making a declaration that the Son of Man is come to first of all seek, and to save that which was lost. According to Luke 19:10, he has to first of all do the seeking, identify people who have problems, and meet their needs. He was going about meeting needs. The Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind all the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, in miracle center, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praises for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, or the planting of the Lord, according to Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 3. That is your role. That is your mission. If you want to follow the footsteps of the perfect caregiver, let's go to point 2. Minimum expectation of somebody who pride himself in being a caregiver. The minimum qualities that you expect of a person. Number 1 is that the person must be generous, compassionate, and must have a heart of giving. He must be a generous person. Before you see the perfect caregiver, do all those things. You see in several places in scripture. In Matthew chapter 9 verse 6. Matthew 9:36. Matthew 14:14. Just take them down. I will not be reading. I will be paraphrasing. Matthew 14:14. Mark 1:41. Mark 6:34-44. I repeat. Matthew 9:36. Matthew 14:14. Mark 1:41. And then Mark 6:34-44. Several places, about every of those verses, you will hear, and Jesus was filled with compassion. He was filled with compassion. He was generous. That is the attribute. That is what is expected of you as a person. He was generous with giving. He must have a heart of giving. That is the attribute of Jesus. So you see, after he has fed people, in one of the chapter in six, in Mark 6:34, after he had fed people, he knew that the Bible alone will not fill the stomach. He told the disciples, feed them. He was not only concerned about their spiritual life. Spiritual life is one. No matter how good you are in fasting, there will be time you will need to break. He said, give them to eat. The disciples said, look, if the day is far spent, let's send them away and go and let everyone go and look for what to eat. But the compassionate man, the generous caregiver, will not let them go. After feeding them with the word of life, he fed them. So it is expected of you that you will have the heart of compassion, a heart of generosity, and there will be somebody who will willingly give to your neighbor. The Almighty God will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. A prophet, a caregiver must have a righteous burden and love for others. He must have a righteous burden. He must love others. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, Apostle Paul told the Thessalonian believer, he said, we were not only willing to have impacted unto you the gospel, we were also desirous to impact unto you our own soul, because you people are dear to us. Are people dear to you? Do you love others? Do you cherish people? Do you admire people? Do you love people? He said, because you are dear to us. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Because you are dear to us. In 1 Peter, in Philippians 2:19-21. Philippians 2:19-21. He told the Philippian church, I have many Christians who work with me. I have many co-laborers. But I don't have anyone who is like-minded like Timothy, who will naturally care for your estate. Everyone is seeking for their own. Like somebody may join a welfare department, not to minister to the need of the people, but to be ministered to. But in the case of Timothy, although I have many co-workers, not all of them are concerned about the sheep. They are only concerned about their own self. So you must have a heart of love, a righteous body for people, if you want to be a caregiver. I trust God that after today, heaven will do a new thing in our lives. It will change our orientation in the mighty name of Jesus. Number three, you must have a high sense of concern and gift of discernment. A high sense of concern and gift of discernment. Must show concern. Said, and we could have impacted unto you. Even our own soul. Whatever concerns you, concerns us. And you need it. Today, many of us have excuses. They are lying. That's why you need a sign of discernment. To be able to identify those who are lying and those who are not lying. And if you don't have the gift of discernment, when people come to you with their needs, and you begin to, they are lying. That's how they do in Lagos. I have come to a conclusion that it is better for you to meet the need of a liar than to ignore somebody who has a genuine need that heaven wants you to meet their need. Simply because there are so many liars. After leaving me now, he will go to another person. And this is somebody that heaven has arranged you to meet so that you can meet the person's need. And because of people who are out there, who have who see begging as a vocation, and you ignore them. If you don't have the gift of discernment, why not operate within what is in your capacity to do? Why not do what is within your capacity to do? Have a sense of discernment. The Lord will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. Number four, must be a person of absolute confidentiality. If you are a caregiver, especially if you find yourself in the welfare unit, you must not be somebody that they will tell, somebody will come and open up his life, his family affairs, his career affairs to you. And you will say, and then before you know what is happening, you are not actually profiling solution. But the next thing is that the brother or the sister had this from another person. Are you meeting needs or you are destroying lives? It is expected that a person who is, has a heart of caregiving must be a person of absolute confidentiality. And the last but not the least is that he must be genuinely born again, sanctified and Holy Spirit filled. You and I know, I was born wayward, I was born wicked, and so were you. Where will you get compassion? How will you love? Love is not in our nature. The Bible says God is love. In our own case, we are wickedness. Wickedness personified. Without God, if you don't give your life to Jesus, how will you show concern to another person? You say, me too, I have my own need. I have to mind my own business. Even if I open my own to him, he will bow. You are not concerned. But God can have two problems. God can have your problem, and this person can, and he can have this another person's problem. And he will expect me to finish and meet this person's problem so that he can attend to you. For example, you need money. You want to buy something. And the money, you are looking for 5,000. You already have 4,000. And here is somebody who needs 1,000. And he tells you, I will lose this job if I don't pay 1,000. I've registered for a vocation. I'll be owing them. They say I should not come again tomorrow if I don't pay the balance of 1,000. No certificate, nothing. And you are looking for 5,000 to buy something. God has two problems. So you have every one of us has problem. Has problem. That's two problems for God to solve. If you give him 1,000, God has only one problem. Do you think along that line? Do you have concern? Whether he lost his job or what, it's not of your business. What you are looking for is 1,000. If this is your approach, that is why our heavens has not been opened. If the widow of Sarephath had wanted to satisfy herself first, she would not have experienced a change of status. I want to quickly go to 12-point functions. That is the number 3 of my outline. 12-point function expected of a caregiver. I have given you 5 points on the minimum qualification. That you must be generous, compassionate, must have a righteous burden and love for others, must have a sense of concern and gift of discernment, must be a person of absolute confidentiality, and must be genuinely born again, sanctified and Holy Spirit filled. 12 points expected of a caregiver. And I need the welfare unit to pay close attention to this, because we have not performed. In fact, if I were to rate ourselves, I will rate us below 10% of God's expectation. And so, everyone who is with me in welfare department, with us in welfare department, they should pay close attention. Number one, functions expected of a caregiver is to cater. And this 12 point is not a concoction. It's not something that David Adeyemi manufactured. It is an expectation of the Redeemed Christian Church of God from those people who pride themselves in being a caregiver. And so I want you to note it very carefully. To cater for the less privileged in the church and around us. To cater for the less privileged of the church and the people around us. That is number one function. In Romans 12:13, the Bible says we should distribute to the necessity of the saints. Distribute to the needs of the saints. Romans 12:13. Galatians 6:10 says, as ye therefore have opportunities, As he therefore have opportunity, Galatians 6:10, he said, let us do good unto all men. Do good unto all men. That is why I said to take care of the less privileged, both in the church and outside the church. So it's not limited to the church, although Galatians 6:10 put a caveat, especially those of the household of faith. So it is not to you to say, to see somebody in your neighborhood that you are expected to help and say, because he's not a member of your church. What impact are you making? What impact are you making? Number two, to provide financial support to viable business ideas. Number three, to assist in financing indigenous viable children project. Number four, I'm being too fast, I'm sorry. I'm watching time. Okay. I start again, to cater for the less privileged in the church and around us, and I cited Galatians 6:10 and Romans 12:13, to provide financial support to viable business ideas. That's number two. Number three, to assist in financing indigenous viable children projects. Number four, after now you can see me, I will give you, to support committed and devoted Christians to realize their goals and destiny. That we must give support to members of our congregation who have a goal, who have a destiny to fulfill. In every way, every conceivable sense, it is the expectation of God and this mission that we will support them to bring their dream to reality. To help in employing and employment placing of members who are qualified. If God has placed you in a position of authority in your place of work, it is the expectation of God that we will assist those who are qualified. We are not saying you should employ riffraff and base it on sentiment. But if they are qualified and you subject them to the same condition as you subject the outsider, the expectation of God is that we give our members a priority. The Lord will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. To give financial help on compassionate ground to members. Financial help on compassionate ground, e.g. transportation for the first month of employment, house rent, school, children's school fees, etc. That is the expectation of the mission, of this mission. That is the expectation. Number G, answering to distress calls for assistance by members and during national disaster, war situations, anywhere in the world. Answering to distress calls for assistance by members across the nation, outside the nation. You see us contributing to mission all over. Distress call anywhere you see an act of God. It is our responsibility to answer them. Number H is to sponsor and support genuine missionaries and missions all over the world. Support mission and missionaries all over the world. Another one is to organize welfare awareness programs, e.g. seminars, conferences, symposiums, both in local churches and society at large. And to organize, another one is to organize welfare and facilitate rescue missions to disaster areas and disaster regions of the world. If I need to expatiate, I'm a teacher by the grace of God. In the next 2 hours, I will still be on it. So let me take it down if you need to have it, see me later. And then to extend the love of Christ to all those in critical and desperate situations anywhere in the world. Assist, extend the love of Christ to all those in critical and desperate situations everywhere in the world. And to assist, the last one, number 12, is to assist in running and maintaining schools, e.g. primary, secondary, and university. Thereby helping to give godly and all-round sound education to our youth. Who are the leaders of tomorrow? Who are the leaders of tomorrow? To support them. This is the secret of the missionary. You are a Christian today. This is what the Oyinbo people, this is what they did. To gain the attention of our black fathers who were into deep occultism and traditional religion. So first of all, establish schools. Give them free this, free that, free this, free that. And so it is our role as a means of evangelism to assist in running and maintaining schools in order to provide godly
children who are leaders of tomorrow. Ha! Some people will say, thank God, oh, help us tell them. You go to them, they'll be giving you excuses, they'll be excuses. Help us. Thank God, they are all listening. I am not talking to anybody. The person I'm talking to is you. I am not for any man, I'm for every man. I am not talking to anybody but you. It is unthinkable. God never created a liability. God created you an asset. It is unthinkable for any person, a woman for example, to wake up and say she has nothing to do. God wants you to be in the house of God, to meet needs. You wake up and you say you don't have anything to do. You don't have certificate. You cannot go and learn how to play here and identify people who have female guests and tell them that, sir, ma, I'll be coming to play here for your children. There are people in the market there who carry, before you say no, pepper seller. They are richer than all of us who are wearing nonsense ties. They are there in the market. You say you are too decent to do odd jobs. You are depending on welfareism. You can't play here. You can't carry load. You can't learn sewing. You just wake up and idle yourself away. As a woman, if you wake up without anything you are doing, you don't deserve to eat. I say you don't deserve to eat. My Bible tells me, he who does not work does not deserve to eat. You call yourself an able-bodied man. You say you don't have a job. I told people, if the worst comes to the worst, I'll go and learn Babi. How long will it take me to learn Babi? And if I have to come and to my pastor's house to Babi, said, he knows that he will not give me the 200-300 naira. I will identify people. I'm coming, sir. If I will let man share, I'm coming to Bab for you, sir. How long will it take me to go and learn how to repair phones? The market for phones can never do Indo. How long will it take me to go and learn how to do computer? There are people who are riding keke napep there. There are people who are riding Okada. There are people doing what me, carrying wheelbarrow, doing all sorts of things, and you say you don't have anything to do. You are depending on some people who are sweating it out. And you say, help us tell them. You don't even deserve to eat, lest to talk of our sisters. My name is David Adeyemi. Those who know me for bluntness. You don't deserve to eat. God is counting on you to meet the needs of people who are just coming. He talks about some people who, when they were supposed to be teachers, they still have needs of me. They themselves are still looking for people to spoon feed them. You have been here, born again. How many years? What are you doing? A woman, I followed my wife to the market last month, and as soon as he bought all that thing, Alabo, he said, before you say, the people we carry to Marina where we park, they were there, and we agreed on the price. When we got there, I said, woman, do you have a child? He said, yes. I said, do all it takes to sponsor your child. I said, what you are doing is 10 times more dignified than those who are begging and looking for assistance. I said, you are a honorable person. I said, I'm a man of God, and I made prophetic statement into our life. And I gave her an extra 100 naira, a naira, apart from what we agreed. You stay in the church and say you don't have anything doing. What is your husband doing? Our corner. I know you lost your job. Say, if you lost one, you can't say there are certain jobs that we painted our office about a month ago. The person who painted it was a woman. He's a graduate, a university graduate. He didn't allow somebody. He came and said, wear watches and do the painting of our office. And you are talking and you are saying, Adishani, you have certificate. You cannot do all job. And you are looking for people who are sweating to give you money. You say, help us tell them. Be that as it may. I need to tell you that I have a serious concern for the church of this generation. And my concern is the fact that we are significantly different from the church that I see in the Acts of the Apostles. We are significantly, unremarkably different from the church that I see in the Acts of the Apostles. In Acts chapter 2, from verse 41 to 37, it's a pity that certain things cannot be related. Acts chapter 2, from verse 41 to 47, at the first sermon that Peter gave, about 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus. 3,000 souls. The Bible tells me, we read 44 down, that they had all things common. Those who had sold their possessions and goods, and distribution was made to every man as they have needs. Distribution was made to everyone as they have needs. And the Bible says they were with one accord, with gladness. They were worshiping God with gladness. When we want to fast, they fast together. We say we are going for evangelism because everybody is fed. They all come out for evangelism with excitement. In our own case, we think, what do we eat this morning? Oh, boiled egg or omelette or which one? And there are people here. There was a time in my life I could not think of a break of a lunch. I couldn't, in this Lagos, I could not contemplate be thinking about lunch because my breakfast is 100% on Saturday. Do you know how many people are in that category in the church? They say, guys, go for evangelism. No wonder nobody is coming out. You are well fed. You have eaten, drank either 10 alive or 15 alive. And here is somebody talking about jealousy. Who for evangelism? Everybody. And by the time you get to Acts chapter 4, verse 4, Peter gave the second sermon. 5,000 people gave their life to Jesus. 5,000. The Bible says all were men. Women and children were not counted. And so when you add 5,000 to 3,000, we have 8,000 congregation. Let us assume for the purpose of analogy that women were only 2,000. And you know, women are only more than men, and children are always more than men in any congregation. But let us assume that women were just 2,000. We have a population of 3,000 plus 5,000 and 2,000. And now, in verse 34, the Bible says, neither was there anyone among men, among them, that lacked. Neither was there anyone among them that lacked. Everyone had his statement. People were selling their possession. In fact, somebody needed to sell his only land. He was the only one whose name was mentioned, that he sold his land. Many people sold their land. They didn't mention that. They mentioned the name of this one. And so, every need was met. By the time you get to Acts chapter 6, the disciples multiplied greatly. And yet, they met all their needs. It was not today. What you see is a long queue of people who want to see the pastor. Because waviarism, caregiving, has been relegated to the exclusive preserve of the pastor. But in the early church, every born again Christian had a sense of caregiving. Everyone knows that is what they are called to meet needs. Church is established to meet needs. Let me close on this note. I know a woman in scriptures. You see her in Acts chapter 9. Her name was Dorcas. He said, Dorcas understood this concept. He was a caregiver to the core. And before we say Jah, she fell sick. She fell sick, and before we say that, she gave up. The church said, no. Anybody can die in the church, but not Tabitha. If Tabitha dies, there will be so much vacuum that nobody can fill. No. The church said no. Luckily, Peter was by the neighboring town, and they have to call him. As soon as Peter came, this one will say, see the clothes he sold for me. See the headgear she bought for me. See this, see that. Everybody is saying, see what have you done? Whose life have you impacted? How many mouths have you fed? How many people have eaten part of your sweat? How many people have you clothed? I also know a woman on a final note outside the scripture. Her name is Jenile. Jenile was a great man of God, was the wife of a great man of God, who was a partner in ministry to her husband several times. John G. Lake would not be around. He was a great revivalist. Unfortunately, full-time ministry is not like today. It has a record that several times food was in short supply in their home because this woman will give her life out. The available food, whenever the people come, oh, we want to see pastor. They are not around. They say they are going. They are not going. We want to wait for the pastor. The available little food at home, Jenny will use it to make the people as comfortable as in, as much as comfortable for the husband to come. And they will use it and use it to cater for the people. Before we could know what is happening, Jenny fell sick. Doctor's report has it that Jenny died of malnutrition and exhaustion. In the catering for the church of God, we were told that Jenny practically neglected herself and died of malnutrition. Are you going to the same heaven with Jenny? With this eccentric, with this selfish me and my husband portion? With this, when I first of all finish this, when I have another jeep in something, I will hear what they are saying portion? That's why we praise for poverty. I mean, prosperity. Prosperity is not coming. Are you going to the same heaven with that Tabitha went? Going to the same heaven with Jenny? Rise up on your feet for in repentance. Everywhere you have been negligent, it is important that you first of all repent. Because the Lord's hand is not shorted. I cannot say, we are praying for prosperity, it's not coming. Is this not the reason? So selfish, Christian, we call ourselves, we say we are spirit-filled. What are we doing with our anointing? The anointing is making Jesus to do good. How many lives have you impacted, both in this church and outside? Rise up on your feet and ask God for forgiveness. Say you repent of your selfishness. You repent of closing your eyes to the needs of the church. You repent. It's repentance we need before you even make any request. You need to repent of your selfishness, of my selfishness. That is what we need. That is what we need. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to forgive you that you are guilty. Because you are. Because I am. Because we are. We are guilty. Lordy Pastor. We can buy this property. If a church of 10,000 congregations could buy this property, neither was there anyone that lacked. We can buy this property in a church that is less than 1,000. We have everything that is better than the early church to do so. Father, we appreciate your mercy. The only prayer we have is that please have mercy upon us in the mighty name of Jesus. That the mercy prevail over our judgment. Everywhere we have been selfish, everywhere we have gone our own way, oh Lord, I pray, let your mercy prevail over judgment in our lives in the name of Jesus. Let your mercy prevail over condemnation in our lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. Today, Lord, I pray that you will give us a change of focus. And every one of us will live to the divine expectation in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray.